Welcome to First Baptist Church of Tarrytown, sharing God's love and hope around the world. Our prayer is that your life is transformed as you hear the Word of God preached today.
And here's the thing. I said we're not going to have any more than 10 people, and we have like 22. So, like, that's, wow. Yeah, we doubled my expectations for the day. That's amazing. So, because we're in between the Advents, we're between the first Advent of Jesus and the second Advent of Jesus, and we're looking forward to Christ's second coming, you know, we have an encouraging, reality that Christ has come, Christ will come again. And yet, even in the midst of that, we realize that there's a lot of reasons to not have peace. There really is. There's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's epidemics going around. In fact, even if the snow wasn't outside, we were still going to have really low numbers because a lot of people are sick. There's a lot of stuff going around, right? And in the midst of our health issues, that is tiring, that is exhausting. If you're sick, worse yet, a family member is sick, and then you're trying to care for them, and you love them, and you're concerned about their well-being, right? There's a lot of reasons to have anxiety in the world today. Relationships are breaking apart. Politics continues to be divisive. There's a lot of reasons to not have peace. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could have access to peace at all times in every situation. Why did Jesus give us the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the reasons, and the only reason we're going to look at today, is so that we can have access to peace in every situation. Look what Jesus writes, or says, and John wrote in John 14. And what's incredible here is Jesus knows he is about to lay down his life on the cross, and these are some of his final words. John 14, 25, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So what I love about this text, you know, we tend to like popcorn our theology, and so we pull texts apart and we just use a verse and we stick it on a bumper sticker or whatever on your coffee mug. And there's nothing wrong with that, except we kind of lose the context, right? So I've seen, you know, "my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." I've seen that out of context. Well, what is he talking about there, right? How do you access that peace? Well, it's through the person of the Holy Spirit. So he says in verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you," right? And still in the same context, "peace I leave with you. I'm giving you the peace that can come from the Holy Spirit for those who follow me. My peace I give you." If you want the peace of Christ, you have access to the Holy Spirit. "Not as the world gives." How does the world give? Right? The world gives peace through circumstances. If I only had enough money, if my health were okay, if my family members are doing well, if I have political, social, emotional power, then I can have peace, right? Then I'll be happy. And Jesus says, that's not how I'm giving it to you. It's not the way the rest of the world works. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And then he says, "let not your hearts be troubled." How does that work, right? Because suddenly I get a really bad diagnosis and I'm scared. Like, that just naturally happens. If all of a sudden I get a letter from the IRS in the mail that I'm being audited, my heart is scared, right? That happens. And in fact, if I'm not scared, there's something wrong with me. If I get into a car accident, I'm scared. If all of a sudden I lose my job, or my relationships, or a relationship I have that I care about breaks apart, I'm filled with anxiety. It hurts. It's hard. I lose sleep. And yet Jesus here, he says, "let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Well, I can't help it, Jesus. What's going on? Well, it's the same context that he started off with this. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit in my place. So don't neglect spending time with the Holy Spirit in the midst of your anxiety, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your financial ruin, in the midst of the letter you got in the mail that you didn't want to get, in the midst of the bills that you have to pay, in the midst of having to move, in the midst of having to change your home, in the midst of having to downsize. Don't let your heart be troubled. So don't dwell on that. Instead, access the Holy Spirit so that he can give you supernatural peace that is beyond the circumstance, that says it's going to work out. Yeah, there's going to be bad stuff that happens and you're going to go through bad stuff, but I'm with you. I'm here. So Jesus, one of the reasons, but the only reason we're looking at today, one of the reasons Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit is so that we could access peace in every situation, no matter what. We have access to peace from God that transcends our current misery. It's kind of like, I know I've told you guys this story before, but it's kind of like when I was, 20, 21, I was like, you know, I kind of had a scratchy voice and I was like not feeling well. I'm like, whatever, I'm going to rough it out, right? And I tough it out. And I didn't worry about taking Tylenol or ibuprofen because, you know, God gave me this temperature for a reason, to burn it out of my body. So I'm, you know, just going through all that, right? And I'm just trying to tough it out until like 4 or 5 days go by and I'm like, I can't. And so I go to the doctor and I'm walking to the doctor like this. Like I am in so much pain. I feel like I'm about to die. And it's because I was about to die. It turns out I had strep throat, and if left untreated, strep throat can be deadly, right? So the doctor gives me, what does he give me? He gives me after yelling at me about, why didn't you come in sooner? How long have you been dealing with this? You could have been dead if you left this one more day, right? Like, I probably should send you to the hospital for an IV drip right now, but you need to take this medicine immediately. He gives me medicine, right? He gives me amoxicillin or whatever, some sort of medication that's going to clear it right up and take care of the infection. And what did I do? Not take it, because I'm going to let my... No. no. But I did have that option, didn't I? I could have had the option to not go to the doctor. I could have had the option to say, here's the amoxicillin that will save your life and will restore your health. But I could have said instead, no, I'm not going to take it. That is what we as Christians often do. God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us access to unlimited peace. And yet, what do we say? No, I'm not going to spend time in prayer. I'm not going to spend time in meditation. I'm not going to ask God for help. I mean, I'm going to passive aggressively be like, God, why aren't you doing anything? But I'm not actually going to stop what I'm doing. I'm not going to crack open the Bible, read through some Psalms until I feel better. I'm not going to start singing Christian music until I feel the Holy Spirit ministering to my soul. I'm not going to get down on my hands and knees or turn off the TV or get off the smartphone until I feel peace from God. No, I'm just going to try and find peace in other ways, some less healthy than others. You know, we have to access his peace. I mean, it's kind of like if you're exhausted and you're like, man, I'm so tired, I need to sleep, and you have a bed and the bed is right there and you refuse to lay in it. You're just like, I'm so tired, I can't function. And your family's like, lay down in your bed, go to sleep. Oh, but I'm so tired, I can't. It's like so hard. There's the bed. Go ahead, lay down and sleep. And you're like, I got so much to do, I can't, and I'm so stressed out. Just lay down in the bed. And you're like, nope, that probably won't work. It's not going to get better. We do that as Christians, where we just, like, we have access to God, the Holy Spirit, and we can ask him for peace in any time and in any moment. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Well, I can't, Jesus, because this is really frustrating. This is a really hard situation that I'm going through. And he's like, yeah. So for one moment, stop perseverating on it, right? Stop focusing on that. Turn your attention to me. And let my peace wash over you. The problem is probably not going to go away. You're probably still going to have it. There's probably things that are going to happen that you're not going to enjoy and you're not going to like and you're not going to sign up for. but he's given it to you nonetheless. One of the deacons at my previous church, we had men and women deacons, because scripturally in the Bible, the deacons, well, Paul identifies women as deacons, but the deacons would take care of the physical needs of the church congregation, right? So makes sense that Paul would have, you know, men helping the men and women helping the women, kind of thing. So one of our deacons, she was a social worker for a million years, and always did this social work and stuff. And one of the stories she said is she would often go into a home that was in crisis. They needed help. You know, they're like, we don't have any food. You know, we don't have money. We can't pay our bills. You know, they're about to turn the gas off. They're about to turn the electric off. They're going to repossess the car. We need help. We don't even have money for food. And one of the things, this isn't the case in every scenario, but oftentimes, and there was a family that had come to the church, and we tried to help them out a little bit here and there. But eventually, you know, the church, you know, your needs are far beyond what we can help and right now, and you need long-term help. And so she agreed to go and kind of evaluate the family, see what their needs are. And we'd been helping out with food and food and food and food. We don't have any food. And I sat down with her, and she said, you know, their cupboards are full of food. And she said, and this isn't abnormal. Oftentimes, we will go into a family, and we will, and they'll say, we don't have money for food. And we go in, and they have lots of food. The thing is, what they're looking for more often than not, and again, she'd done this for, at that point, like 30 years. She said, more often than not, what they want is they want instant food, right? That they can just stick in the microwave and have it like that. And meanwhile, their cupboards are filled with soups, with rice, with beans, with pasta, with pasta sauce, which, I mean, truthfully, you know, it doesn't take that long to boil up pasta. Right. But they have all of this. They have all of this food. In fact, it won't even fit in all their cupboards. But what they want, they don't have. And they're not willing to access the food that they have. And so they go out and they're asking, we need help. We don't have food that we want. And she says, but they already have it. They're just not willing to make it because they just want to put it in the microwave. It's easy for us to cast aspersions and be like, oh man, how dare they? Now, first of all, I can be that lazy. All right. It's just, I absolutely can be. But second of all, we are like that in our spiritual lives, right? God is offering us a feast. We have so much access to so many, many spiritual power, for lack of a better term here. We have so much access to God. I mean, first of all, as individuals, we have the Bible. We can read, we can pray, we can meditate. Meditation in Christian understanding is a filling of the mind with the things of God, in quiet and solitude. We have, we can fast. Ooh, that's every American's favorite thing. We can fast. If you don't know what to do, if you don't know what direction you're going through, say, you know what? The time is going to take me to prep food and to eat food. I'm going to spend in time in prayer because God, I need you right now more than I need food. Right? But how often, don't show hands, how often do Americans fast intentionally and not just for health reasons? Like we will intermittent fast to lose weight before we will fast for spiritual reasons in American society, won't we? Right? We absolutely will. Like we have all of these options as individuals. We have music that we can get. One of the things, Kristen's grandmother, who passed away about 5 years ago, that always struck that Granny would do when she, and she had a rough life. Whenever she had a difficult time, she would find a hymn book and she would go somewhere and she would just start singing hymns until she felt better. Right? Now you're like, okay, great. You don't even need the hymn book, right? You, like you have access to every song imaginable and you could just start singing along. Poorly, well, and yet we don't access all the spiritual gifts. And then as corporately, we can come together as a church congregation, right? There's podcast after podcast. There is church service after church service. There is Christian book after Christian book. Solomon said, of the writing of books, there is no end. And he was right, right? Just like there's so much that we can access, and yet we often don't. But Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can have peace, so we can access peace in every one of our circumstances. So with that, how do we respond? Well, if you, Ron, are you prepared to share your, how is, all right, come on up. How has God given you peace? So we'll give Ronnie a few minutes. I'm going to do this interview style. Well, I'll hand this up to you when you get up here. He's on number two.
I should sit on this.
Yes, sit on that side. Here, while you're sitting down, here's some education. I have him on this side. Why? Because in theater, this is the side of conflict, right? And you'll see when I'm preaching, right? When I got to say some like rough stuff or conflict or anything, like I'm over here. This is the place of authority. And then this is the place of warmth and generosity, right? So when I'm like, hey, I love you guys and I'm proud to be your pastor, right? I'm over here. And when I'm like, some of you all, I'm right here. So I figured we'll do this. We'll put pastor in the seat of conflict and we'll put Ronnie in the place of warm generosity. So, Ronnie, how has God given you peace?
Okay, yeah.
Speak in the microphone.
Okay, I will speak in the microphone. I just think about the time that I came to salvation. And this, how does God speak to us, you know? Is it an audible voice? Not too often. You know, but never actually has he spoken to me audibly. But in my spirit, I've heard it. And my question is it God? You know, that's a question. Like the first day that I got saved, after I took my shower, I, of course, did the same thing that I always did. I went up to the races. And on the way to the races, a new voice was talking to me saying, I don't think you ought to go. Now, that wasn't from me. You know, I didn't even think about it, you know, but that voice, and by the end of the night, you know, I went up, I said, let me show you, you know, by the end of the night, I didn't have any peace. I had to really say, I'm not going to come up here anymore. You know, because God really let me see how evil everything was when I was at the races.
Wow.
That's one thing. You know, but there's other times that I thought that God spoke to me. You know, like well before I was a Christian, I thought God spoke to me by the Palisades down in Dobbs Ferry, that park. I'm looking up at the Palisades, and I hear this voice inside of me. I'm not in the buildings in town. And I didn't think that God couldn't be in the buildings in town. I thought he was telling me, I'm right here. You know, this is well before I'm a believer. Did God speak to me that day? I think so. You know, I think so. But the last thing I'm going to do is, this happened a few years back to me, 2017. All of a sudden, I had to go to the hospital for heart surgery. And while I was in the hospital, I found out that the building that I lived in is closed now because they had a fire in the basement and they have to redo all the electricity in the building. And like, so I became homeless while I was in the hospital. And I was thinking about it. I didn't have that much peace, but I did talk to God about it because I needed to get back to focusing on God, you know? And I had a little bit of peace, except when I thought about, you know, my situation. So finally, after God fixed me up with the doctors, you know, they gave me a new aortic valve, you know, and I was ready to go home, but I had to rehab first. And I wanted to stay in rehab because I was homeless. I mean, I hadn't really experienced the homelessness yet, but I was homeless. So finally, after a couple of weeks, they said, "You got to get out of here. You're well." Okay. The guy from Red Cross comes, and he gives me enough funds for about a week in the motel. You know, and I came to church. And I brought all my stuff from the motel. I stayed one night, and somebody very kind gave me a place to stay for a couple of days. And for about a week, it was 2 weeks between using the motel money and some people letting me stay at their house. About 2 weeks, finally I got a room at, what do they call that, the YMCA, right down the hill here, you know. And I got the room, and I had, you know, a bed that I needed to put plastic around it so that none of those little bed bugs would come and get you. And they gave me a credenza, but the top drawer had fallen off, you know. And I had some closet space. I wasn't really concentrating on that. But after being there for a couple of weeks.
Microphone.
Looking at that credenza, I said, I can't live like this, you know. And I started complaining. And as I went to lunch that day, I prayed, you know, help me because I don't know how to fix anything. You know, how am I going to do it? Probably nail and a hammer would have worked, but what do I know? So I came back to the room, and I got directions on how to do it, but not from, you know, YouTube. They came into my head. You know, take the board out that you put underneath your bed and put it in the drawer. That created a ledge, and I could balance the broken piece on it.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm not that smart to figure that out. I didn't know how to do it. But when I came back from lunch, God had given me that, and I was able to do that. It had to be God because I don't think Satan wants to help me out. You know, so it's not his voice. It has to be God's voice. And it's happened to you too. There have been situations that you've been in where without God's help, you wouldn't have known what to do. But all of a sudden, that voice told you what to do. It's happened to me a few times in my life, and I'm thankful for that. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Thank you. All right. So, anyone else want to come up and share what you're thankful to God for?
I just want to share that, you know, when you go through a lot of things in life, you really do. But when you're in the Word and you speak it out loud and you're with that coffee break with Jesus every morning and you have gratitude, those hard things do not look hard. They're there. It's almost like, you know, you have the ocean yet. Olive oil, it's there. You see them, but you're not scared. The fear is not there. You know you have to go through it, and you know he always says, I'll never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
And that is so important. I can't stress it. That is peace that passes understanding.
Right.
And I used to say that all the time. And then now I say it, and it's profound. I walk it. It's how many years now with the Lord? And now I feel it. I know it. So when you know his word and you walk with that in your life, in your journey, life is not that tough.
Mm.
It just
Amen.
Happens.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that's what you need to remember to continue having that peace. I just wanted to share that because that's really huge.
Yeah, that's huge. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Marcella. So I was particularly touched by what Ronnie had shared, but then essentially what you added on. And I know some of you know me, but exactly how old are you, Jocelyn? Jocelyn's 9. About 9 years ago, my father passed away. And I had watched him go through a journey in his health that sort of broke his body down, and he got really sick, and then he had sort of lost the ability to walk, but then gained it back. And it was just like, you know, these things were happening, and it was a lot happening in my life at that point. Jocelyn's my first child, so I was, you know, a little disappointed that my dad knew that Jocelyn was going to be born, but he didn't get to actually meet her. And I share this because it was just the peace of God that resonated over my life at that time. I knew that things were going to be okay because, as Marcella says, the more you get in your word and the more you deal with these things and just understand that Christ is with you and the Holy Spirit is guiding you through the storms of your life. You know, one of my particular favorite stories is in Mark 4 where, you know, the storm is in there. And we know that Christ is with us. Like, we're in the boat, and we're all freaking out, and everything's going on, and it seems like it's the end of the world. But Jesus just wakes up and is like, be done. And I think sometimes we forget that in life. So one of the verses that I've taught my girls since my dad's passing, they didn't get to meet him, but what is one of the things that we pray each night that God gives us the...
Our understanding that gives our hearts.
So I wanted to share that because it's given me peace to like make sure that I instill those scriptures in my girls to understand that life is going to throw anything at you and the storms will come. But as long as you trust in the Holy Spirit and the Lord, you'll be able to get through those storms. So
thank you. Amen. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. All right. Anyone else want to share something? How has God given you peace? Stop acting like that. Yeah, my own children. He's like, not me. How has God? Pam came in to take care of children's ministry, but we have...
No children.
Well, two children. Two.
I think as I get on in age, the hope of heaven is what really, you know, reading about it and praying about it, knowing that no matter what happens in this life or what hardships come my way, I have that hope and it's going to be incredible. And I think that really gives me peace, that there's nothing that could happen here that's going to even compare to the glory that we're going to have when we're face to face with Jesus and we're in with him forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Do you have how God has given you peace?
Yeah, Duncan.
Duncan the cat. Yeah, that cat. If you don't know, our cat, Duncan, we have two cats. One loves me and my wife, and... Yeah, with the kids, and then the other one just wants attention. But he's also the most nervous cat in the world, and he's scared. So he like wants to be loved, but he's like, I don't know, are you gonna hurt me when he comes up to you? Yeah, he's a very neurotic cat, but we love him. So just remember the words of Jesus during this Christmas season, in a time that is fraught with high emotion, high stress, high anxiety. In a time that is difficult, but the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We can have peace through God the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so we could always have access to peace in every situation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this gathering today. We pray that you will be with us all, those who are at home, those who are here in person, our congregation who is sick. Father, there's a lot going on in everyone's life, but in the midst of all of this, you have promised to never leave us or forsake us, that you are with us always, even to the end of time. And so, Father, because of those promises that you have given us through Christ Jesus, we stand boldly and proclaim that, yes, we trust you. And we ask, as little children, with our hands stretched up towards heaven, Father, give us peace. Give us peace right now, not as the world gives it, but that comes from your Holy Spirit, knowing that you have a plan, you have a purpose, you love us, and you hold us in the palm of your hand. You'll never let us go. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the church or make an online donation, please visit us at fbctarrytown.org.